Our Father, we ask and receive this morning insight into your word. We accept the revelation of Jesus in this house. We acknowledge the truth that is found only in him. And this morning, let every mind be established in righteousness. Let no mind wander away. There's no error here. There's always accuracy and precision as we behold him, Jesus, your son, as he sees us in him. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now this morning we will be looking at a vital truth. It's probably one of my favorite teachings. It's all those things you just love to say again and again. We're going to look at the subject, you can have what you say. Hallelujah. Say, I can have what I say. You didn't even say it well to have it.
I can have what I say.
Say, I can have what I say.
I can have what I say.
Mark's Gospel chapter 11. So if you're that committed, the second service will be, you can have what you pray. So we're going to have, the two of those teachings coming side by side. Mark 11, 23. Jesus said, then 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 22, which is very vital. Verse 22. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, have faith in God. So they have faith in God. Now, in your study of the Bible, every time you see, I don't know which series I did this for, but every time you see an account in one of the four Gospels, and it's elsewhere, go look for it so that you can have a fuller picture of what he said. For example, when he said, have faith in God. It looks as though he was asking them to have faith. But that was not what he said. He was saying, so we will be intelligent to look at another portion where that was recorded. And that's Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. Same story. And then Matthew includes a vital factor. Verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith. Notice that. If you have faith. So he's not saying they should go and get faith. He said, if you have faith. It's the same way Paul would say, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. In other words, he is not giving an instruction to get faith. Rather, he is telling you how faith works. Jesus is not giving an instruction to go and get faith. If you drive down the road, you will see the restaurant. I'm not asking you to drive down the road. I'm only telling you what you will see if you drive down the road. So he says, if you have faith, all right? And doubt not. So, in other words, if we put the two accounts together, get back to Mark's Gospel 11. Mark's Gospel 11. So when he says in 22, have faith in God, can we say, if you have faith in God? Would that be cool? Huh? Come on, would that be cool? Come on, would that be cool? If you have faith, because we have to put if you have faith in God. Now the word have is a word used for possessing something. Echo in the Greek, E-C-H-O. It means to possess something, to hold something. In other words, if you hold on the faith, or if you possess the faith in God. In other words, what he's saying is if this becomes your possession, alright, if you have faith, echo. It's not a passing word like something that comes and goes. Rather, it's something that you hold on to. So if you have, in other words, if you own, if within your possession you have faith in God. Now, some other translations will put it differently. They will say, if you have faith from God, or you have faith that God gives. And it makes a lot of sense because the next verse didn't say God will do something. The next verse says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever that he says. In other words, he's telling you that it's the man that will have what he says. So pay attention to something quickly. So he says, if you have the faith of God, then he says, whosoever. Now, of course, the whosoever is not anybody. The whosoever is who now? Come on. Who is the whosoever? Huh? Who is the whosoever? Whosoever has the faith of God. So the principle here is not just about saying or believing. It's about it being the faith of God. So I say the faith of God. Say the faith of God. Right, so he's saying if you have the faith of God, or if you have the faith that God gives, because faith can be used for many other things outside God. You know, faith can be used for many other things outside God. So he says, pay attention, if you have faith, just like Matthew 21:21, if you have faith and doubt not, praise God. If you have faith and doubt not, okay? If you have faith and doubt not, then it says, if you have the faith of God, you shall say whosoever shall say. In other words, go back to 23, Mark 11. Are you there? Come on, guys. Are you there? Look at 23 again. If you have the faith of God, whosoever, all right? So, whosoever has the faith of God. You know, why it's important that we say this is, if you remove God from what he's saying, all you will have is a formula. If you remove God from it, all you're going to have will be a formula. But it's not a, he's not talking about a formula. He's rather talking about how faith works. The work of faith. It's not a formula. Step A, step B, step C, no. He says, if you have the faith of God, whosoever has the faith of God, or whosoever has faith in God. Okay? He says, he shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He, who is a he? Who is a he? Who is a he? The man that has the faith of God. Don't forget the word have is a word to possess, to hold on to. So Jesus is not teaching an action, he's teaching how faith works. And so the first thing you need to realize is that there's a man who has the faith of God. See, there's a man who has the faith of God. There's a man who has the faith of God. So basically, he wasn't teaching a formula. Because if you were teaching a formula, she would not include God. Praise God. Now, you know, this cannot be acted upon by an unbeliever. Is that right? Is that right? Come on, is that right? It can be, because the unbeliever cannot have the faith of God. And interestingly, this is important. This shows you something. Now I need to realize this. That those folks in the four gospels who probably received their healing and miracles could never have acted this way. This is different from what they did. It was faith, but it's not what he's talking about. If you have the faith of God. Now, notice something vital. And Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, he let us see something years back, I won't forget. He said, if you observe verse 23, look at 23 again. Verse 23 has say. How many times do you have the word say? Huh? Come on, how many times y'all gonna say? Look at it. How many times they say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." So he has to say it too. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what things soever he says. So how many times do you have the word say? No, let's leave out Jesus from there. But you have three times. So you have three times saying, and you have believing how many times? Once. Pay attention to that one. In other words, when you teach faith, you should spend more time on the speaking than the believing. In fact, the Greek makes the believing very passive. It's like the believing will be seen in the speaking. So the believing is passive. And interestingly, let me just break down one or two other things to you. The word say, in the original Greek, the saying has three different applications. When he says, "Whosoever shall say," is the way people use authority. Whosoever shall say, alright, that is, Jesus is actually talking about the use of authority. We're going to see that shortly. Whosoever shall say, that is, whosoever has the faith of God, because of that he will say. In other words, you are exercising a privilege. Whosoever shall say. To this mountain be thou removed, and be thou, that's why it says to this mountain, pay attention. So, you only say to the mountain once. You say to the mountain, that's authority, whosoever shall say. To this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. Now, the second saith is an affirmation. It's to speak to affirm. It's just like saying, well, did you attend government college battle? I don't expect anybody to say yes here. Then I say, yes, I did. Now, by saying yes, I did, I'm affirming something. So, whosoever shall say, I shall not doubt himself, but shall believe that those things which he saith, that is, he affirms what he says. Then the last one, he shall have what things soever he says. It's another word called Lego. L-E-G-O. I'm going to Lego. I'm going to play Lego. Lego? L-E-G-O. My God. Lego. Let me see your hand. So what did you play? Table soccer? Or this one, station. You know station? You know station? That's what is Agbalu Mo in English? I've heard all sorts of names, but Agbalu Mo makes more sense. Lego is that stuff that the packet will have a building or a car. Then by the time you open it, you will not see a building or a car. You just see building blocks. So in other words, Lego refers to a systematic way of speaking that you build an edifice. So when it says, "Whosoever shall speak authoritatively and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he affirms shall come to pass, he shall have what he systematically builds." In other words, the speaking is not once. The speaking is a continual action of faith. Let me see your hand if you're following what I'm saying. Come on, raise your hand if you are. Let me see your hand if you're following what I'm saying. The speaking is a consistent thing. Whosoever shall say, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he affirms, he shall have that which he consistently says. So, he's teaching the walk of faith. Now, notice again, like we said, the believing is passive. So, in other words, the believing is seen in the speaking. In other words, the believing is seen or is expressed or exercised in the speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to that. The believing is exercised in the speaking. Now, he says, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, or the faith that God gives. So for us to call it of God, we must see God do the same thing. Did God do this? You know, you just say, well, did God do this? Because there's nothing we're asked to do from God that we can't see in Him. Now go to Genesis chapter 1. Did God do this? Jesus, pay attention now, let's get back a little bit. Let me give you a short background and we'll come back here. He's going on the road to Bethany. Then he sees a fig tree. Then he talks to the fig tree. Now, if I were around Jesus, and then I see my Lord and my Savior, he faces a tree. I think we need to pray for Jesus in Jesus' name. How do you say, I say to you? I'm thinking, what's wrong with the Lord? I say to you, no man eat of thee hereafter. So, the disciples heard him. They thought it was one of the mysteries of the kingdom. They probably thought he was speaking figuratively or in another parable. So everybody kept quiet and they didn't take cognizance of what he had just done. So, after 3 days, the Mark's accounts, they're coming back. And Peter, you know, he knows Peter is Peter all the time. He's going like this and he said, hey! Chai! That's my translation. Chai! Amma! Jesus, come! The tree that you cursed has withered away! Then Jesus said, have the faith of God. So naturally, I expected him to say, did you know what I went through to become a man? Do you know the depths of the anointing, of the grace, of the faith, and the mercy? I probably thought he was going to say that. But he just said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever. Wow! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whosoever. I like that term. You know, I don't know about you. I like the term whosoever because it's no one's family name. Hallelujah. Whosoever. Hallelujah. So whosoever can have the faith of God. And whosoever. Do I have any whosoever here? Come on, I don't know whether you're here. Praise God. Whosoever. You have whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. Whatever he's born of God. Hallelujah. So say, whosoever. Praise God. So Jesus was explaining to Peter what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Jesus was telling his disciples what Jesus did. And Jesus started by saying, I thought he would say, verily, verily, I say to you, I have the faith of God. For we, the Son of God, not more than one, we, the incarnation of God, we, the only begotten of God, when we talk, mountains tremble. He said, whosoever. Hallelujah. How about that, man? Praise God. How does that sound around you? Whosoever. Praise God. Praise God. Whosoever shall say. Praise God. I said, praise God. Genesis chapter 1. Are you in church? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God imagined. What did he do? God believed. What did he do? God said. Notice, God said. Verse 3. Verse 5. God called. Verse 6. Come on, let's take it together. Verse 6. God. Verse 9. And God. Come on, everybody. Come on. See, when you are a judge and they say, let's read. Read. Praise God. Like a friend of mine would say, except you have muzzle in the mouth. Let's read. We read. We read. Paul says you give attendance to what? Reading. One of Christian worship is our reading the scriptures together. Amen. Praise God. Alright, let's take it again. Verse 3. Let's take it one more time. And God. Verse 5. And God called. Verse 6. And God. Verse 9. And God said. Verse 11. And God. Verse 14. And God. Verse 24, and God. Verse 26, and God. So God kept speaking. For everything he wanted done, he said. You know, the Almighty God, the one the Greek calls the Pantokraton, the one the Hebrew calls the Shaddai, you think that all he needs for things to happen is to just think about it. You know, many of us think that as long as I think about it, it's in my mind. It's in my mind. Say, I believe. No, he didn't say God believe. It's in my mind. You know, the Almighty God did not think it. See, God knows my heart. He knows it's in that piece. He sees my heart. Who cares? Praise God. He said, he kept speaking, for everything that was created, it started with words. And God said, 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 praise God. So Jesus wasn't saying anything that was not written. If you have the faith of God, you shall say. Praise God. I tell many people at times that your mouth is not primarily for eating. Some guys think that the reason for their mouth is to be eaten. Your mouth isn't eating. Do you know the doctors can get food into your body without your mouth? You realize that? One time I told my mom, I was very young. I said, I don't have appetite. Anything I put into my mouth, it is bitter. She said, don't worry, I'll give you. My mom is so, she's very straightforward. Just, put it, injection, put drip. And somehow, I was appetized. So, your mouth is not primarily for eating. Some guys, their mouth does not stop moving. You think they are masticating. That the food came back. He said, and God said, and God said. Now notice something quickly, go back. Genesis chapter 1. You seeing something? Are you seeing something? And God said, is the word amar. Amar in the Hebrew, A-M-A-R, is to utter. That is, when you use amar, there's a sound. He didn't say it in his mind. Someone say, I'm praying in my mind. For who? I'm praying my father used to say, I'm using my mind to pray. I don't know what. God wasn't thinking, God was speaking. Amar means you will utter it and people are going to hear you. God said it so that it can be heard. He said it. And God said, watch this now. Genesis 1:5. And God called the light day. The word called is the word proclaim. In other words, when you see something or when you do something, then you now let everybody know what you've done. So he uses the word kara. Q-A-R-A. It means to proclaim, that is a result of what I said earlier, is this. That is, I said something then I affirm it just like Jesus said. Whosoever shall say, and then he will affirm. And then I said, notice something quickly. Are you learning something? Notice something. And God said, let's take verse 4. Let's take 3 and 4, just the beginning statement. Let's go. 3 again. And God. 4. And God. Let's take it again. And God. And God. 6. And God. And God made. Praise God. Verse 9. And God. And God called. Verse 11. And God. Verse 14. And God. Verse 16. And God made. Verse 17, and God set them. Verse 20, and God said. Verse 21, and God created. Verse 22, and God blessed them. Blessed them doing what? Saying. Verse 24, and God said. Verse 25, and God. So, every action of God was preceded by speaking. He said, then he saw. If you want to see it, you say it. He's God. He's God. I thought his power was so powerful that he doesn't have to speak and things are going to happen. He doesn't think it. He says it. God Almighty. And God said. The only things the Bible says comes to pass are the things that God said. Not the things that God is meditating upon. So, God said, then God called. God said, and God made. God said, and God created. God said, and God saw. We're going to use this thing. So, in speaking, it must be uttered clearly. God did not write before he spoke. You know, everything that was written was first of all spoken before they were written. And they were written so that they can be spoken. Come on, follow this in. So God said, and then God saw. God said, and God created. Praise God. Praise God. So, in that utterance, you say loud and clear. Did you observe that God did not say what he saw? Rather, he saw what he said. Amen. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, why is there darkness? What's going on here? Should there be darkness? Some of us think that is being realistic. Should there be darkness? Who done it? Who done the darkness? We're going to talk about this in the second service. Some of them think prayer is complaining. And some guys pray to God and they, ladies now, do like this. In their prayer. You should know what I'm going through. I'm going through it. It's going to be. And some of the guys, they also like this. Yeah, it's the same way. See, prayer is pouring out your heart. Says who? Just point out my heart. I'm pouring out my heart to you. I said that they've used 6 hours and they have not prayed. Tell them the Bible says, as I can say, the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcome the world, the tears will dry up. Because they are full of unbelief. Praise God. Are you still there? Are you still there? So get back to Mark 11. Learn some. So Jesus is teaching us the importance of words. And so our words are so cheap because of the way they come that we don't know how valuable they are. Say something. Don't speak in tongues. Say something. You know, some guys speak in tongues so much they don't even know how to speak the word anymore. Whoever just speaking tongues to the mountain. So, brother, come on, let's pray. Let's lay hands on a demon. Oh, sorry, not demon. Let's lay hands and cast out a demon. They can't even say, come out in Jesus' name. The Bible says, you know, no man understands. The demon's enjoying the confusion. Did you observe that demons don't leave till you say so? So it shows you that spirits function by words. In other words, that will mean they will also not stay around you if you don't say so. We're going to talk about that in this series. You know, demons don't leave you. It didn't say, in my name, demons shall flee. He didn't say that. It didn't say, in my name, demons shall flee. No. In my name, you shall cast out. You don't cast out demons by imagination. It will go. God loves me. There can't be a demon. No, you don't. You're going to cast out the demon. Praise God. You're going to cast out the demon. If you don't cast out the demon, the demon will be casted in. You get it? All right. So, Jesus is telling us the use of our words. Because I thought that he would tell Peter, do you know what I just did? Do you know the implication of the power? He just said, whosoever shall say, and shall not doubt, but shall say, and believe those things he says, shall have whatever he says. And I say, say. Say, have been saying things. What have you been saying? Now say something. You almost spoke in tongues again. Just say anything. If you're a Chelsea fan, say something. That's a mountain on its own. You know, you just say something. So, you know, it's so easy to talk that you will know how powerful words are. It's so easy to talk. Let me ask you a question I've asked this before. Can you give accounts of all the words you say per day? You say, ha! I mean, give account of everything you said yesterday. Try this someday. I've done it before. So you do it before. Put a recorder throughout your day. And record everything you said during the day. Both when you were alone and when you were in the service. I remember Mark Hankin said this. He said, if everybody, every believer remained in church, they don't go anywhere, he said their faith will always work. Because there's this yes in the service. I'm fully charged. But then Monday morning, reality begins. In other words, you should see faith as your lifestyle. So, imagine if you recorded everything you said yesterday, would you be proud of what you were saying? Everybody goes quiet. You record. I'm not talking about evangelism alone. In evangelism, you say the right things. In your devotion, of course, you say the right things. But I'm talking about your conversations, you're not recording. And you hear all the, I'm done. I'm finished. Yay. This thing will not kill me. On your own, you know. And then say things, hey, God has to intervene. Then you record all the you listen to. Then whatever you listen to is your faith life. How about that? You recorded everything you said. On your own. When you answer that phone call, because of the person at the back or the other end of the call, you say, it is well. God is good. I should drop the phone and say, what? Man, this is real disaster. Nobody was there. This is real disaster. Someone picks the call and say, how about that issue? Oh, we give God praise. You drop it again. Hey, Jesus. You know, but sometimes you get into doubt and then
all the syllables change. So, Jesus. Jesus Christ.
That's Yoruba English together, you know. You go, hey!
You don't say, I'm dead.
Yes, speak. I'm dead. You said that many times. When you ran out, whether you scaled the fence or something, you ran out to do something, they said you just looked through the gate and your father's car was there. I'm dead.
You say, I'm dead.
You say that so often. That after a while, we'll see that later, we'll see the issue of jokes. There's a teaching we had years back, and we call it curses, riddles, and jokes. Sometimes we don't know our jokes are important. I'm not talking about the ones they say in comedy shows. I'm thinking the ones you say. You know, they're very bad. Look at 1 Peter 2. Are you there? Are you there? 1 Peter 2, 22. Who did no sin, this is Jesus, watch what sin is, neither was guile found in his mouth. He talks about sin in the mouth. Neither was guile found in the mouth. The word guile is a Greek word, dolos, D-O-L-O-S. Guile. That is something unusual. Found in his mouth. In other words, Jesus was a master of words. He was a master of words. He got it so right that even his words were without sin. He got it so right. He spoke words consciously. He said there was no guile found in his mouth. No fault. John 1:47 is the word. No fault found in his words. Now, of course, when they say guile in his mouth, it didn't mean in his saliva. It's just good to know when you say mouth in scripture, just like when you say heart in scripture, it's not the heart pumping organ. The blood pumping organ. So when you say mouth, by the mouth of two witnesses, it doesn't mean that they just like. So bring your mouth by the mouth of every two or two. The mouth refers to words. In other words, there was no guile found in his words. Not one. Look at 23, 1 Peter 2. In his words. 1 Peter 2, 20. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He threatened not. The word apelio in the Greek is a verb. He threatened not. He didn't say anything out of threat. He didn't speak out of emotion. Jesus did not react emotionally. Acts 4:29 talks about the word threats. To threaten people. To say something. Ephesians 6:9, the same thing. Acts 9:1, Acts 6:9. Words that threaten others. In other words, Jesus mastered his words. He mastered his words. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Come on, guys. He mastered his words. Praise God. So, it wasn't just his conduct. His conduct came out of his words. Jesus mastered his words. You find people say, you know, they come to the pastor, I'm struggling with sin. I said, you are not. He said, I'm struggling. Master your words first. I am not struggling with sin. You should say right thing. You master your words. Praise God. Jesus mastered his words. Do you know that the big deal about Jesus was not his dressing? You know, Jesus did not fit into GQ magazine. You know what I'm talking about? No? He wasn't, oh my God, have you seen the Savior? Come and see, he suits me.
Wow. Woo.
Hey. Come and see the way he walks. There was a guy in my secondary school. He was in Form 4, I was in Form 1. He was the son of a popular Nigerian. He used to walk in one funny way. In my stupidity, I didn't know when I said it loud. I said, why does this guy walk like this? Like a peacock. He turned back. My God. I wanted to leave the school that night. I said, Jesus, what did I just say? I got in trouble. Remember, my very first day in school. I'm in the boarding house, field house. So I saw someone wet the bed. I said, how can somebody be in secondary school and is wetting the bed? This person ought not to be in the secondary school. The guy was in Form 5. My first night in the secondary school, Form 1, first night. I had not even resumed on Monday. I served punishment for 3.5 hours. First night. When the guy was done with me, he made me sleep on that bed. I slept happily. But I didn't change. Next morning, I was at the black tank where we fetch water. And I saw some guys, they brought their buckets before me. I said, no, you cannot do this. We are paying the same fee. He said, you are just coming to go. When I saw reality, I'm fetching like this senior because I pour my own into his own. Without requirements. So Jesus was not known for his dressing. He was not known for his dressing. Like, hey, come and see his tie. His haircut is anointed. Have you seen his wristwatch? Is he glistening? Nothing. That has nothing to do with your life. Jesus wasn't known for his dressing. He wasn't known for his gaits. Something. Some people are so particular about how they walk. So, I'm entering to that party now. How do I move? They've been walking normally. Just get, Some guys are emoji. It's a normal human being. I say, Pastor, bless you. If they have a way they worship, everybody's like, they just go. You are giving yourself stress. You're stressing yourself. Jesus wasn't known by those things. John 7:46. Are you in church? He was a master of words. John 7:46. Hallelujah. Look at verse 45. Then came the officers of the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought this man? Look at verse 46. Come on, let's go. The officers, come on. 46, let's go. The officers answered, never man spoke like this man. Not dressed like this man. Or ate like this man. The book I eat, and he said, all things are possible. No one spoke this way. And then the Pharisees were very angry. The officers, then they asked the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Glory. He was a master of words. He was a master of words. Say, I master my words. Say, I have lordship over my words. I don't speak loosely. You know, many homes will have been at peace if the couple knew how to talk. He mastered his words. No one talked like him. Hallelujah. See, I'm a master of my words. Come on. See, I'm a master of my words. See, I'm a master of my words. I speak filled words only. I don't release doubt-filled words. I speak love-filled words. I don't speak hateful words. Say, I speak faith-filled words. I am a master of my words. I'm a master of what I say. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm a master of my words. Don't be under pressure and say what you shouldn't say. I'm a master of my words. Praise God. He was arrested for his words. Matthew 26 verse 61. He was arrested. They asked him, did you say? That's what he asked him. This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God. Had to destroy and build it in 3 days. Let him build it first. Wouldn't you like a new one? Hallelujah. Matthew 26, 61. Verse 65. The high priest rent his clothes saying, he has spoken blasphemy. So they got a hold of his words. He spoke words about himself. He spoke words about his mission on earth. Say, I'm a master of my words. Say, I'm a master of my words. Mark 11, 22. He mastered his words. So it's important for you and I to master our words. Why would you be mastering our words? We're trying to master our conduct. Start with your words. Your words precede your actions. Master your words. Master your words. Be a master over what you say. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Mark 11, come on. Verse 22. So if you have the faith of God. Thank you, Lord. Say, I have the faith of God. Say it like you say, I have the faith of God. Now, can we say, faith in God is faith in Christ? See the same thing? Can we see the same thing? So, can we say, he that is a believer? Can we say, if you believe the gospel? Come on. Come on. Are you there? Because it's not just about believing. We just found out it is to have the faith of God. So, that means that question or that statement won't have if for you because you already have it. Just like Paul says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10, 9. There's no if for you and I because we have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We are believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Praise God. So we can say, I have the faith of God. Say, I have the faith of God. Because the faith of God is the faith of Christ. It's the faith we have in Christ. Say, I have the faith of God. So you do not teach believers to have faith. They are already believers. Praise God. Have faith in God. That's not a believer. Go to Galatians 6 and 10. Quickly. Go to Galatians 6 and 10. Praise God. I said praise God. Galatians 6 and 10. Do good unto all, especially those of where? The household of what? So everybody in the household are of faith. Praise God. See, I belong to the household of faith. See, I belong to the household of faith. I have the faith of God. Now, notice something because we want to just do a short study on something. Why? You need to realize that every time you read the statements of Jesus in the four Gospels, you need to ask yourself, who exactly were his audience? Because the audience dictates the context. Audience always dictates the context. Audience dictates the context. So, the audience dictates the context. And that's why he used the word if. He used the word if because as at that time, they were not believers as we are today. So he had to use the word if. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 11. He says, unto you it is given to know, Matthew 13, 11, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13, 11. The mysteries of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Matthew likes heaven. Kingdom of heaven. Now, the word mystery is the Greek word mysterion. Mysterion means unexplained facts. Unexplained facts. That is a fact or a truth that has not been explained. So you can say, unto you it is given to know the unexplained facts of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he explained it to them. So, but he says, unto those that are without, it is not given. So there were things he said. Whenever you see Jesus speak to the general populace, be rest assured that there will be several unexplained truths. Not because he didn't want to explain them, it's because they didn't have the capacity to bear it. Go to verse 34, Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 34. So always know his audience. Let's take it together. Matthew 13, 34. Can we go? All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude. Come on, go ahead. In parables. And without a parable, spake he not unto them. The word parable is the word parabolo in the Greek. In other words, that's not the mystery. All right. Parabolo is how he spoke to the multitude. But to his own disciples, he explained it to them. Parabolo simply means that you cross from a medium to another. Let me give you what I mean. That means you explain spiritual things in a natural way. That's why he had to give parables in his teaching. It was because of the incapacity or the capacity of the audience. Go to Luke 10 quickly. Let me show you something else. Luke 10, 20. Luke 10, 20. Are you there? Are you there? Did I say 20? Luke 10, 21. I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it is good, it seemed good in your sight. Look at verse 23. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. Let's take 24 together. For I tell you, everybody, I'll take one more time. For I tell you, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and haven't heard them. So in other words, this is the day of the fulfillment of the desires of the saints of the Old Testament. Always know that. So, he explains the mysteries, because the mystery is the Old Testament. Luke 24, 25 to 27. The Bible says Jesus spoke to them. He said, "O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Luke 24, 25 to 27. Then the Bible says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" 26. 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Luke 24, 27, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24, 25 to 27. In other words, Jesus expounded means he interpreted the Holy Scriptures to them. So the Holy Scriptures, that's the Old Testament, require interpretation. They require interpretation. Luke 24, 25 to 27. There are many in the Greek. It means that he explained to them. He gave them to know. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, 7 quickly. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. So when you read the word mystery, it's not the same word mysterious. Mystery just means it requires explanation. 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. But we speak the wisdom of God, it says, in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We speak the wisdom of God which was in a mystery is now explained. So Jesus, listen now, he explained some unexplained facts of the Old Testament. And one of them was what he just said. I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have the faith of God, you will say, that is whosoever shall say. Mark 11:23. He's explaining the principle, or better still, how faith works. So you need to realize that every time you take the four Gospels, many things in there require much explanation. Listen now. Go to Matthew 9 again. I said, what kind of crowd did he have? Matthew 17, one more time. Firstly, let me break it down again. Matthew 9 first. Matthew 9. There were those who were not his disciples that required parables because of their capacity not to bear truth. Then there were his own disciples that still required interpretation. So on both hands, Jesus had a crowd of people without the Holy Spirit that he used different medium to explain the truth to. Whether they were his disciples or it was just different layers of incapacity. Some could bear more than the other. But at the end of the day, what you found out was that both the disciples and then those who were not disciples, they still had the same kind of capacity, just on different levels. Look at Matthew 9. Matthew 9, look at what Jesus called them. Matthew 9, verse 36, or what he was called. What they were called. He saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion, verse 36, on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd. Let me explain what that means to you. When you talk about shepherd, the Jew understands, or the Israel understood shepherds not just by leading the flock, but by feeding the flock. In other words, these people were not fed well spiritually. That was his audience. Look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and then verse 20. This is very vital. Please pay attention to this. Jesus is talking to his own disciples. What happened was someone brought, listen carefully to this, this is vital, this is very vital. Please pay attention here. Someone brought a sick person to his disciples and they couldn't cast the demon out. Verse 16, I brought him to thy disciples and they couldn't cure him. Let's take 17 together. Everybody, I'll wait for you. Let's take it. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him either to me. Who did he call faithless and perverse? Who did he call faithless and perverse? Say it loudly. Who did he call faithless and perverse? Who did he call faithless and perverse? Had they cast out a devil before? Yes. So how come he calls them faithless and perverse? He calls his own disciples faithless and perverse. So, if he told them, if you have faith, then he was right. That means they were without faith. Faithless and perverse. Please pay attention now. Is the word apistos in the Greek? Apistos, without faith. Look at verse 20. Okay, let's take verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and it departed out of him. And the child was cured from that hour. Now let's take verse 19 together. Come on, let's go. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? They were good disciples. Some guys have taken offense and changed church. How can he come in faithless and perverse? You know, you just take it personal. Look at 20. And Jesus, let's take it together. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. He didn't even say because of unbelief. Because of your unbelief. It was theirs. Because of your unbelief. That's why you couldn't cast out the demon. Did you observe the faith he's talking about here is not the same faith of the woman with the issue of blood. It's talking about the use of authority. It says because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. So he rebuked them because of unbelief. The same statement was made in Mark 9:19 and Luke 9:41. Because of your unbelief. He calls them perverse. You don't want to add the word perverse. Perverse is to oppose an opposition. Something that is against faith. Apistorion again, in the word he uses, because of your unbelief. No, perverse, sorry. Perverse. I jumped something there. Let me just correct myself. When he said perverse, that is opposition. Don't get that wrong. When he mentioned faithless is the word apistos. Then he changes the term in verse 20. He says, because of your unbelief. That's important. Note this very well. And look up. This is vital. Let's take it again. They asked Jesus, the woman or the parent but the child said, your disciples couldn't cure him. Then he turns to his disciples. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. Number without faith, apistos. Perverse, opposed. That is, when a man is without faith, he opposes the word. Sometimes without even knowing. So, he now cast out the demon. And then, they called out to him, Jesus, why could we not cast out the demon? In other words, he had told them they were faithless and perverse. So he says, why could we not cast out the demon? Then he changes the term and calls them, he says, because of your unbelief. The word unbelief is another word he used. Because we just said now, earlier on, they had used the authority over demons. So what happened now? So he calls it unbelief, which is the word, pay attention, oligopistos. You know, we have apistos without faith. Oligopistos is O-L-I-G-O-P-I-S-T-O-S. Oligopistos. Why did he use this term? Pay attention. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 26, the same term was used. Matthew 8, 26. Let's take it together. Matthew 8, 26. He's talking to his own disciples. Let's go. Matthew 8, 26. Let's go. I'll wait for you. And he said unto them, I'll wait for you. Are you there? Well, let's go. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Same word. Holy Ghost pistos. Same word. Why? Verse 25. They cried and said, Lord, save us, we perish. Matthew 8, 26. Matthew 14, 31. Matthew 14, 31. Let's take it together. Matthew 14, 31. Now, he's talking to Peter. Let's go. Matthew 14, 31. Let's go. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore thou didst doubt? So, he uses the same term, Holy Ghost pistos. What does it mean? Holy Ghost simply means something that is brief. Soon. It doesn't stay long enough. It means something you probably had a prior experience using, but then you dropped it along the way. So in other words, it was soon, quickly. Something that disappeared quickly. You've used this before. How come you can't use it again? In Matthew 16:8, I think, or Mark 16:8. Matthew 16:8, I think. Is it Matthew 16:8 or Mark 16:8? Yeah, the same thing. All of little faith. Something that just fades away. In other words, you've used it before. So, he had to now take them through the lessons of faith. Because the cure to faith, the cure to unbelief, the cure to that unbelief is to teach faith. Jesus went to his hometown, and the Bible tells us that he couldn't do any mighty work. Why? The Bible says he marveled at their unbelief. That is, you could literally see Jesus go, this unbelief is not found, not in Israel. But you know what he did? He sent out his disciples to start to teach in every city and village. Then he came back again to heal the sick. And many were healed. In other words, the cure to unbelief is the word. It's not emotions. The cure is the word. If I find myself somewhere walking in doubt, or I walk in fear, the cure to it is not to feel bad that I did. The cure to it is to feed on the word of God. So the cure to unbelief is to teach faith. So Jesus takes his own disciples through a teaching of faith. So let's look at something. Look up, everybody. So it's possible for me to walk in authority and not continue in it. Is that possible? Is that possible? It's possible for me to walk by faith at some point and then not at some other point. So it means that I cannot rely on my experiences of faith. I must be consistent in the use of faith. Because the same folks had cast out demons, but maybe along the line, they started watching some things on YouTube and saw examples of some men of God that couldn't cast out devils. Maybe along the line, they now watched some Nigerian movies and saw that there's some higher demons. And you know, by the time you watch some movies and see that there are some demons that can take 6 weeks to cast out, according to 6 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. You just watch that there's some demons that come from under the ground. So by the time you fed on a lot of that, and then you watch a whole lot of, you read the news more than you studied the Bible, before you know it, you couldn't cast out demons like you used to before. Amen. I said, amen. Nothing happened. It's just that you went careless. So here we are. He says to them, you guys are soon moved away from what you used to believe. Go to John 6. John 6. Verse 64. John 6:64. His own disciples. He's talking to his own disciples. Let's start. Let me just read 60 first. Verse 60. Many therefore of the disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can bear it? Let's take verse 64 together. 64. Come on, everybody. Let's go. But there are some of you that believe not. Who is he talking to now? Who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? Good. For Jesus knew from the beginning who were that believed not and should betray him. So he had folks who had issues with faith. His own people. In John 14. John 14. John 14 verse 1. Let's go together. John 14 verse 1. Let's take this here. Come on, let's go. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Who is he talking to? His own disciples. Praise God. John 14, 12. Let's go. John 14, 12. Let's go. Let's take it together. Verily, verily. Everybody, come on. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than this, because I go to my Father. He's talking to his disciples. John 16. Verse 29. Let's take it together. Come on. John 16, 29. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's go. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speaks no proverbs. Verse 30. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needst not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou came from God. Let's take 31 together. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Who is he talking to? His disciples. In fact, from records, most of the 70 were not there. Do you now believe? Praise God. Do you now believe? So, they had a faith problem. These guys had a faith problem. So, for them, many of the times, he used a figure of speech. Number one, their way of appreciation spiritual truth was very low. And secondly also, we saw that they were not consistent with the life of faith. So you and I must not place ourselves in the same shoes with them all the time. Are you there? Are you there? Look, go back to Mark 11. Mark 11. Praise God. Mark 11, 23. Let's start from 22 again. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God or have the faith of God. And verily, verily, let's take 23 together, everybody, one more time. Let's go. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall believe those things which he says to come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, look at the word mountain here. The word mountain here must be seen in the way Jesus taught this. Firstly, Jesus had real mountains. He had a real mountain where he prayed, Matthew 14:23, Matthew 17:1. He prayed at a mountain. One. He spoke about worship in a mountain, John 4:21. Let me take it again. In Matthew 14:23 and Matthew 17:1, he prayed at a mountain. In other words, he went to a mountain place where you have a hill and he prayed there. Matthew 14 and Matthew 23. Sorry, Matthew 14:23 and Matthew 17:1. He also spoke about worship in a mountain with the woman at the well, John 4:21. Then he also spoke about a mountain as a place of safety in Matthew 18:12. Matthew 18:12, a place of safety. But look at Mark 11, 23 again. Whosoever shall say unto what? This mountain. So he's specific. This mountain. It is whosoever shall say to mountain. So he says, this mountain. Pay attention now. By using the word this mountain, it's a demonstrative pronoun, which is the Greek word H-O-U-T-U-S, H-O-U-T-U-S, or H-O, or T-O-T-U-S. It's a demonstrative pronoun which is specific. In other words, the mountain is, it can be anything. That is, it depends on what you're talking about, because he wasn't talking about a literal mountain. So it says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, you can say, whosoever shall say to this problem, whosoever shall say to this obstacle, because he is not talking about a literal mountain. He prayed in a literal mountain, alright? He talked about a place where to worship, a literal mountain, John 4:21. He, in Matthew 18:12, he talked about a mountain to run to for safety. But this time around, he's not talking about a physical mountain like where he prayed. He's rather referring to an obstacle or something you've got to confront. He calls it this mountain. Specific. So, whosoever shall say to this mountain, look at Matthew 21. So, because look at this. He just talked to a fig tree. He didn't talk to a mountain. But he lets us see that the principle he functioned in had nothing to do with a fig tree alone. He's generally where there is an obstacle or a situation or a problem that stands against you or before you. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and verse 21. Let's take it together. Matthew 21 and verse 21. Are you there? Come on, are you there? Let's go. Come on, I'll wait for you. Let's go. I'll wait for everybody. Let's go. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, let's go, you shall not only do this which was done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. So say, it shall be done. Say, it shall be done. So Jesus was saying, it's not just about fig tree. It's about any kind of obstacles. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So a mountain is figurative, or it's to represent a problem. Can be a disease. It can be a sickness. No. It can be an activity. Whosoever shall say. Because in Matthew 17, when it says you shall say, we'll see that next week, he was talking about casting out demons. In other words, stopping an operation of demons. He said he doesn't come by prayer. He said he comes by speaking. Of course, you speak when you pray, but he's saying you don't talk to God about a demonic activity. You don't talk to God so that God will talk to the mountain. He says you will talk to the mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have what things soever that he says. So we said, Jesus mastered his words. In other words, when Jesus sees a problem, he doesn't repeat what the problem says. He doesn't say it. I remember I went to a doctor one time, and then the doctor said this. He said, you have so-so and so. And I made sure that I never repeated what he said. Till date, I have not repeated what he said. He just said, I won't repeat it. He didn't say, whosoever shall speak about the mountain. You know, some of us have, will Google the mountain and find out how many nations have this mountain. And the more we Google it, the more scared you become. Say, eh? This is what I'm carrying. But says, whosoever shall say to, not whosoever shall say about, praise God, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. They say, whosoever shall say about the mountain, God is greater than every mountain, greater than every problem, greater than everything. God is greater than every mountain. I cannot. What's it? You said it. What is it? I can't see. Ah. Yeah. Greater than all my problem, greater than anything. Sometimes we just attract pity. You know, there's no one that has ever dealt with a problem by pity. Remember Jairus' house. They came from his house and they told the Lord, they told him, they said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Dead. And Jesus turned to Jairus immediately, the Bible says. Because you can imagine what will run through his head. Hey! He will just see a picture of the girl dead. Then he's asking, what will I tell the world? You know, immediately. Jesus turned to him and said, fear not! Just believe. You know, he didn't tell his disciples. Praise God. Because you are the one that has to believe. Jairus. He gets to the house of Jairus. Then he sees the association of professional mourners.
Ah! Ah! Talita, Talita.
And Jesus goes in there and says, why are you guys weeping? The girl is not dead. And the switch wasn't working on miracles. The switch was there. Can you imagine? The tears are in the eye. That means they are professionals. People will cry with you and they're dropping the phone and they're watching the man you gave. Don't think that they are serious with this video. Say, Remember one lady, she came for a burial. And then she was crying, Mama Daddy! Mama Daddy! Mama Daddy! my friend said he was serving the drinks. And then he served her. And he said,
my son, it's not that much. I'll give you the coke.
There's no point calling everybody. You gotta speak to the mountain yourself. Hallelujah.
Pastor.
I better just take this before. It is where. Talk tomorrow. Whosoever, praise God, shall master your word. Hallelujah. So you know the kind of response to always give every time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can't stop bad news from coming to you, but you can know how to deal with bad news that everything works out fine. You can stop it. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you know you can stop the bird from building a house on your head. Doubt will always come to you. Fear will always come to you. We'll see that later. It will always come to you. It is your own responsibility to speak. Amen. Some people do a lot of praying, but they do all the praying, but no speaking to the situation. They pray, Father Lord, you cannot look at me like this. It cannot happen. Whosoever shall say to this man. Go to Matthew 8. You learning something? Go to Matthew 8. Jesus was not teaching how to receive from God at this point. He was talking about how to change situations. Say, I can change situations. Say, I can change situations. Praise God. Remember one time I was in university. And then my final year project, you know, there was a problem. And so somehow there was a course I never knew that I had to do. They didn't get the results. So I went to the lecture, and then the point was that they had already sent the list to the law school. So I went to the lecture, and it looked so impossible. And I went to the lecture, and I said, sir, what can I do? I mean, he said, it's late. Say, the results have gone to the Senate. They've approved it. That's what he said. And I said, sir, something can be done. He didn't laugh because he was a Muslim.
He said, except a miracle.
Young man, go and register for the next semester. You know, some lecturers are very wicked. He knew I didn't fail the course. I said, sir, I believe in miracles. And I said, I never said, I believe in miracles. He said, well, and it was a Friday. And throughout the weekend, and I remember that weekend, I had to travel to go and preach. I talked, didn't say it to anybody. I didn't tell anybody, do you know what's going on with me? You don't even know what I'm going through. You think that's how things are going to be solved? You don't even know what I'm going through. All you will get is a hug. A hug. Just say, come, let me show you how professional mourners do. It's well. We don't know what God is doing. When I was also your age, the mountain was not before me, it was inside me. This is where. By the Monday, the Senate asked for the results again. By the Monday. I didn't call anybody. I didn't see anyone. In fact, many of my mates had gone around saying, the pastor has an extra. They wouldn't say it to your face. Because they had my matric number. He had an extra. We told him. He's always traveling. Even people. Hallelujah. Praise God. The man, this guy, what did you do? The result is that I said, I told you, sir, I believe in miracles. If I don't believe in miracles, I'll be done for. I don't know about you. I have nothing, no formula of comeliness that I should. I just have to believe. Praise God. I have what I say. The doctor said, but 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 I say. Look at the number of times you said, I have this pain. You said it 60 times in 2 hours. Then he said, thank God for the power of God once. If I don't, you just said it like, so they will say you are not a Christian. I have what I say. I have what I say. Look at Matthew. Are you in church? Matthew chapter 8. Come on. Here's Jesus. He is talking to the centurion. He says to the centurion tells him verse 6. He said, Lord, Matthew 8, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. How? That's comforting. He will come and save you. He will, you say, oh brethren, Jesus is coming to my house. You know, Jesus going to the house of Jairus didn't mean the daughter won't die. He will come and say, the guy said, you don't have to. He said, you don't have to. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 8. She knew that a man's presence is just as good as his words. That what his presence will do, his words will do. The man knew something about authority. He knew something about authority. He knew that if Jesus came and still said nothing, nothing would happen. So he didn't have to come for something to happen. Who am I speaking with this morning? Maybe this side, come on. He didn't have to show up for something to happen. If he came, he would still use words. So he said, you don't have to come. Use your words. I am a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. I said to one, go, and he goes. I said to one, come, and he comes. I said to another, do it, and he does it. And Jesus said, wow! This guy understands authority. He knew what I said to the fig tree. He knew it. He knew how I cast out demons. He knew how I spoke to the weeds. He knew that I was using words. Woo! He knew it. He knew that demons also use words. I tell people, when you see all these people doing traditional jazz, his words. One guy was telling me, I said, when you are done, I'll say my own. Because everything you are using is words. Say, when you are done, I'll say my own. You know, I can't say what he said. But if I say it now, you say, Pastor knows those things. I said, when you are done. When it was done, I took over. I'll say my own. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because I have what I say. I have what I say. I can have what I say. I can have what I say. Now, what have you been saying? You know, you can say this in church. I can have what I say. I know who I am. I know who I am. I'll go right. I'll go right. And then just out there. How far? Oh. You don't go to. Someone calls you. Say, but where are you? Where you left me? You think you are attracting pity? No. Faith doesn't attract pity. Faith deals with situations. The man said, I have soldiers under me. So you know what? That means the mountain is where? Where's the mountain? The mountain is under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. Faith works with words. There's nothing like unspoken faith. There's nothing like unspoken faith. Faith that is not spoken has no action to it. The verb of faith is to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To know in your mind that you're a champion, you're a victor, is of no value till you say it. It's not God that needs to hear your voice. It's the mountain that needs to hear your voice. It's not God. It's your mind. It's not your mind. It's the mountain that needs to hear your voice. Sometimes we need to learn to master our words. A fellow came to me years back and he said, "Sir, I am confused. I don't know what to do." He thought that was a normal way of counseling. I said, "Go back. When you are not confused and you know what to do, let's talk." He went away. He came back again. He said, "Sir, like I said yesterday, I am confused. I don't know what to do. That's why I came." I said, "Like I also said yesterday, go back. When you are no longer confused and you know what to do, let's talk." He's a soldier. So I guess the third time, he was a bit wise. He said, "Sir, I know what to do. I am not confused." I said, "Now let's talk." We can't start with doubt. Because you are born of God, you know what to do. We are just going to find out what you know. And walk in the light of it. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can have what I say. 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 See, this is our reality. This is our reality. I can have what I say. He said, "Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt, but shall believe the things that he affirms," can you remember? "He shall have whatever he keeps saying." What do you keep saying? Just one, just say one. I'm more than a conqueror. Hey, glory to God. I'm more than a conqueror. 1 minute. Hey, Chai. You know some folks can do all night murmuring. All night. God is here. It's doubtful. That God is here with doubt. What about doing all night speaking what you believe? All night. Can you say the same thing for 2 hours? Sir. Would he look mechanical? How do you cry? Yes, I'm crying. You know, people cry. You think it's a grace? I can have what I say. Every day of the week, every week of the year, I have what I say. Go to John 2, we close from there. Jesus' first miracle. The mother knew what it was. The mother said, "Whatever he tells you." Hallelujah. John 2:5. "Whatever he says." "Whatever he says." I have what I say. I have what I say. I'm a master of circumstances. Nothing overwhelms me. I'm a master of circumstances. Lift your hands and just worship the Lord. Come on. I have what I say. I have what I say. I master my words.